Welcome to PetroMatic Limited Annual General Meeting. Thank you for dialing into today's meeting. My name is Hayley, and I will be the operator for your call today. As a result of Mongolia's current COVID-19 lockdown measures, today's AGM is being held in Singapore, and CEO Mike Burke is chairing the meeting. CFO John Hevrickson is joined by satellite meeting from Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia. As previously announced, the company has advised shareholders to submit any questions prior to the meeting via email. Any questions submitted in advance will be addressed at the end of the meeting. If you have any follow-up questions, you are encouraged to submit these to the IR inbox following the meeting. I will now hand you over to CEO Mike Burke. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much, and good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Mike Burke. I'm the Chief Executive Officer of PetroMatic Limited, and in accordance with the articles of association of the company, I've been nominated by the board to preside as chairperson of this meeting. I'd like to start by welcoming everyone to this annual general meeting of the company. It's just after 4:00 P.M. local time, and under Article 53 of the articles of association of the company, the quorum for an annual general meeting, being two members, is required and is present. Therefore, I formally declare the meeting open. I would like to start, before moving to the formal business of the meeting, to give a brief update on the recent activities of the company. It's been a challenging year for the world, it's fair to say, for humanity, for the petroleum industry, and to some degree for PetroMatic. I'd like to use this opportunity to provide to shareholders a brief summary of the past year and the look ahead from the company's point of view. 2019 operations were successful but were not without their difficulties. Some inconsistencies in Mongolia's laws meant that land access in particular was problematical. We were grateful to the various offices of central and provincial government that were able to be pragmatic and to let us complete the drilling of our three wells. We know that the respective parties are continuing to work hard to fix the land use issues, and we are cooperating fully to try and avoid any surprises the next time we mobilize to operate in our areas. With the success of finding oil in Heron and Gazelle wells, the company immediately turned its efforts to securing the licenses required under the petroleum law to move into the exploitation phase of the Block 20 production sharing contract. These efforts are progressing. However, they are progressing somewhat slower than we would like, given the backdrop of the global pandemic. As the COVID-19 pandemic began to spread in China in early 2020, Mongolia immediately closed its land borders and restricted air travel in a move that at the time seemed somewhat draconian. Looking back, many countries will no doubt wish they had done the same. Mongolia successfully contained the spread of the virus until the middle of November, with only 300 cases recorded to that date, and all those cases were imported. After the first case, all had been quarantined on arrival. Of the 300 cases, 290 patients had fully recovered. However, a sudden outbreak of cases in community in November came as an unwelcome surprise and has added some 500 cases so far to the country's total. This led the government to rapidly declare a hard lockdown in the country, which in turn has led to the somewhat exotic geography for today's meeting in Singapore and our first ever virtual AGM. Apart from the last month, the Mongolian government had functioned without major interruptions due to COVID-19 through the year, although obviously the country's economy has been hit hard, as has been the case everywhere. We remain hopeful that Mongolia will swiftly contain the current outbreak, given the current restrictions in place. 2020 also saw parliamentary elections in Mongolia, and the ruling party successfully remained in power, in no small part due to the way in which the pandemic had been handled. The re-elected government's four-year plan prominently features petroleum, as the country is looking to increase exploration and production investment to provide feedstock for the domestic refinery that is under construction and scheduled to be online in 2024. This will contribute to the country's energy independence, given the country's current and traditional reliance on imported oil products. There is currently no in-country refinery in operation. Our Heron-1 discovery in the second half of 2019 was especially well-timed in light of the country's commitment to build domestic oil refining capacity and has been well-received by all government bodies ever since. However, the speed with which we're moving through the approvals process has left many observers bewildered as to why we do not have already have all permits in hand, and I will summarise why this is and where we are. To enable us to bring the Heron discovery onto production, we are required to secure an exploitation licence. The petroleum law is not prescriptive as to exactly what process should be followed in granting the licence, and the precedent in Mongolia is relatively slim, other than the granting of exploitation licences to PetroChina over various fields in blocks 19 and 21 more than 10 years ago. There's been no other recent oil discovery in country to reach the stage to which Heron Field has progressed within this process. As a result, Mongolian bureaucracy does not have much of a track record, and a process that is in clear need of streamlining is having to be used until such time as rules and regulations are adapted to make this easier in future. So whilst it can be exciting to be a trailblazer, it can also be frustrating at times. With all that being said, I'm pleased to confirm that the progress we have made so far includes the approval via moratorium to stop the clock ticking on the Block 20 PSC whilst the exploitation licence is secured, a competent person's report estimating oil in place for Heron of 194 million barrels, some 20% higher than our initial internal estimate, completion of preparations for the reserves report meeting with the Mineral Resources Professional Council, completion of preparation for our exploitation area submission, and completion of preparation of the plan of development documentation. And the detailed environmental impact assessment for the first 5 years of the exploitation license has also been approved. Securing this approval is a time-consuming process and one that we are very happy to have completed. The delay to the review of our reserves report, which has been reported recently in RNS, was due to an attempt by the Ministry to improve the approvals process. Unfortunately, it turns out this will require some changes in law, which will take time. So the Ministry confirmed that the old process would in fact be followed for the time being. As a result, we were scheduled to meet with the MRPC in mid-November, but disappointingly, the recent lockdown has so far prevented this from occurring. We very much look forward to having this meeting as soon as arrangements can be made. Looking forward, we hope to secure the exploitation license once Mongolia's COVID-19 restrictions are relaxed and the MRPC can return to its normal course of work. We have reduced the company's running costs to conserve cash as we go through the approvals process whilst maintaining our operating capability. We continue to pursue various options to enable us to move forward with the Heron development once all the permits are in place, with the goal of starting to generate revenue from production. We are also looking at selected areas in Mongolia, both for near field and frontier exploration, that we would seek to pursue in conjunction with partners, and once the company is generating revenue. We are still eager to drill on the Raptor trend in Block 5, and the experience of going through the exploitation license approval process for Block 20 is now being applied to our possible Block 5 activities, such that when time and funding permit operations to recommence, we're in a strong position to make sure we gather all the necessary data that will be required to swiftly secure an exploitation license in the happy event that we have some more exploration success. The board and senior management of PetroMatad very much appreciate the efforts, dedication and flexibility of all our staff and contractors through this highly unusual period. The continued high level of motivation shown is a credit to all involved. The board also greatly appreciates the continuing support of all our shareholders. I would now like to briefly introduce the other director here today, with apologies from those absent. Our Executive Director and Chief Financial Officer, John Henriksen, is in attendance from a satellite meeting in Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia. We have apologies from our other directors, Dee Enkmer, Tim Bushell, and Bee Shimazaya, who unfortunately could not be here with us today due to travel restrictions and lockdown measures implemented around the world. Brief biographies and details of the areas of expertise of each director are provided on the company's website. Before commencing with the formal business of the meeting, I will explain very briefly the procedures we shall follow. The notice covering the meeting sets out 6 resolutions which will be proposed. The company has given shareholders the opportunity to submit any questions they may have prior to the meeting via email. I will answer these questions on any other matters relating to the company's business after the final resolution has been considered. For all six resolutions proposed at today's meeting, I intend to call for a poll. Results of the polls will be announced via an RNS following the meeting. I would now like to commence the formal business of the meeting as set out in the Notice of Annual General Meeting dated 17th of November 2020. This notice includes six resolutions to be proposed at the meeting, and I propose to take the notice convening the meeting as read. Copies of the Director's current service agreements and letters of appointment and a copy of the proposed new memorandum and articles of association of the company with a copy of the existing memorandum and articles of association marked to show changes being proposed are available for inspection at the back of this room. As I have decided that a poll shall be taken for all the resolutions, I will first start setting out the respective resolutions with the respective proxies received before we move to the poll procedure. Resolution number one, approval of the 2019 annual report and accounts. The director's report and the audited accounts of the company for the year ended 31st of December 2019, together with the auditor's report on those accounts, have been in your hands for the statutory period. With your permission, I will take them as read. In relation to Resolution 1, the company received in total 80,750,273 proxy votes in favour, 4,503,562 proxy votes against, and 3,650 votes were withheld of the resolution. Resolution number 2, appointment of the auditor and power of directors to fix the auditor's remuneration. The next business is the appointment of the company's auditor, Bentleys WA Pty Ltd, to hold office until further notice and authorising the directors to fix the auditor's remuneration. In relation to Resolution 2, the company received in total 85,172,281 proxy votes in favour, 3,562 proxy votes against, and 81,642 votes were withheld of the resolution. Resolution number 3, re-election of Tim Bushell. The next business is the re-election of Mr. Tim Bushell, who is our non-executive director retiring pursuant to Article 89 of the Articles of Association and offering himself a re-election. In relation to Resolution 3, the company received in total 85,107,519 proxy votes in favour, 84,831 proxy votes against, and 65,135 votes were withheld of the resolution. Resolution number 4, power of directors to allot shares. The next item on the agenda is Resolution 4, the director's authority to allot ordinary shares in the company up to an aggregate nominal amount of US$2,260,351.02. The full text of this resolution is detailed in the notice. By way of explanation, this resolution, if passed, authorises the directors to allot shares up to the aggregate nominal value specified in the resolution and will be subject to the preemption provisions of the articles as amended by Resolution 5, if passed. As of today's date, there are 678,105,306 ordinary shares in issue. In relation to Resolution 4, the company received in total 84,710,156 proxy votes in favour, 268,415 proxy votes against, and 278,374 votes were withheld of the resolution. Resolution number 5, special resolution, amendments to the Articles of Association, disapplication of preemption rights. The next resolution, which is to be proposed as a special resolution, would amend the company's Articles of Association to renew the authority to disapply preemption rights on the issuing of ordinary shares representing approximately 25% of the total issued ordinary share capital of the company. The full text of this resolution is detailed in the notice. A special resolution requires a 75% majority of those voting to vote in favour of the resolution in order for it to be passed. In relation to Resolution 5, the company received in total 84,962,066 proxy votes in favour, 73,572 proxy votes against, and 221,847 votes were withheld of the resolution. Resolution number 6, special resolution, authority to make market purchases. The final resolution, which is to be proposed as a special resolution, would empower the directors, pursuant to Article 14.1(b)(3) of the Articles of Association, until the conclusion of the next annual general meeting of the company, to exercise all the powers of the company to repurchase ordinary shares in the open market with an aggregate nominal value of not more than 15% of the aggregate nominal value of the share capital of the company in issue as at the date of the notice of this meeting. A special resolution requires a 75% majority of those voting to vote in favour of the resolution in order for it to be passed. In relation to Resolution 6, the company received in total 80,450,446 proxy votes in favour, 4,714,523 proxy votes against, and 92,516 votes were withheld of the resolution. Poll procedure. Ladies and gentlemen, I declare the poll open for the purposes of voting on resolutions 1 to 6. I appoint B. Tamir, Chief Accountant of Petromatad Group, to act as scrutineer. Poll cards which provide for voting on the resolutions will now be distributed. Only shareholders or their proxies or corporate representatives are entitled to vote. Please now complete the poll card if you haven't already done so. If you are voting in respect of more than one holding, you should complete a poll card for each separate holding. If a person is proposing one to vote in more than one capacity, say as a member present in person, but also as a proxy or corporate representation for another member, or two, to vote as a proxy or corporate representative for more than one member, would they please use separate poll cards? If you wish to vote part of your holding for and part against a resolution, you can have two cards. If you have already lodged a proxy card, whether by post or otherwise, and you do not wish to change the way in which you voted, there is no need for you to complete a poll card. Indeed, you will help the scrutineer who has to check against double counting by not completing one. Whether or not you've already lodged a form of proxy, it would assist if you could indicate this on the poll card in the appropriate box. Poll cards should be completed by printing clearly the full name of the shareholder, including any joint holders, and the full name of the proxy, if applicable. Insert an X in the appropriate boxes to indicate your vote for or against the resolutions. Please insert the number of shares. You must sign the poll card. When you've completed and signed it, please hand it to the attendant near you. The result of the poll will be scrutinised and announced accordingly. Any other business? Ladies and gentlemen, that brings us to the end of today's formal proceedings. There was one question that we received by email prior to the meeting starting, which I will address now. This meeting came from Clyde and Liz Evans, shareholders of long standing, for which I thank them. They reference a number of RNSs that we've recently issued during the year and ask the following question. In light of those RNSs and the statement that the Heron development base case increased to 33 million barrels recoverable, am I able to A, provide some comments on the estimated monetary value of this recoverable reserve to Petromatad, and B, give a brief outline of the proposed plan of development that has been submitted to MRPC? On that first point, the value of the oil found, as I mentioned in my opening statement, the in-place reserves in Heron have been assessed by independent reserve certifiers with 194 million barrels, and 33 million barrels as our base case for the development represents a recovery factor of some 16 to 17%, which by world standards is relatively low. We are obviously going to look to do better than this. And why I mention that is that the value of the field that we have found very much depends on the recovery factor that's achievable, therefore how much oil you can get out and how much effort you have to make and money you have to spend to do so. Obviously, it also depends on the prevailing oil price at the time that you're producing the oil. I would say that with an in-place reserve of nearly 200 million barrels, and with a target recovery around most of the world of 30%, if you're in any way doing your job properly, then we'd be looking at recoverable reserves somewhat double the amount that we've made our base case in our current submission. But the regulator in Mongolia understands this, understands that we are putting our plan of development together using assumptions on development that are familiar to and consistent with what has been done in Mongolia before. But we very much hope to do better. And in terms of what that's worth, I don't want to go into a huge amount of detail here, but I would say that with a recoverable reserve of somewhere between 33 and 66 million barrels of oil recoverable, we are looking at a field that is potentially worth in net present value with a discount rate of 10% terms, hundreds of millions of dollars. So this is a very, very valuable resource, helped in part by the good fiscal terms that Mongolia offers, hindered to some extent by the relatively poor quality of the reservoir. But in our earliest phase of development, we will be looking to apply technology that is regularly applied around the world but has never been tried in Mongolia before. And this is radial drilling, slant drilling, some horizontal drilling that PetroChina did finally start doing in Mongolia last year, that we believe will improve the recovery per well, improve well flow rates, and reduce the amount of capex required to recover the oil and therefore improve the economics. In terms of the brief outline of the plan of development that we have prepared, the requirement in Mongolia is to submit a completed plan of development under format developed by the Ministry of Mining and Heavy Industry. This we have done, and we have based it on the tried and trusted technologies that have been used in Mongolia. But we have also included sections on the technology we would like to bring in from outside Mongolia that will improve matters. But for the moment, the plan of development assumes a fairly large number of wells. We would like to drill more wells from pads rather than individual well locations to minimize the environmental impact. And also, we want to drill slant wells or horizontal wells to increase reservoir contact and improve well flow rate and recovery per well. So there are some minor differences, but we have kept it simple for current purposes. And as we go through the first phase of development, we will be trying some technologies, as I say, that haven't been used in Mongolia before, but have been used elsewhere to very good effect. And some of those technologies are relatively cheap to apply, although, of course, in Mongolia, they're at the end of a quite long logistical chain. But we think with a decent program put together, we'll be able to use these very cost effectively. So, Clyde and Liz, I hope that in some way answers your question, even if I couldn't be specific on the dollar value. There were no further questions received prior to the meeting, and so I am now declaring the meeting closed. I thank you all for your attendance at this somewhat surreal virtual AGM, but I hope that shareholders have got something out of the meeting, and once again, on behalf of the board, I would like to thank you all for your continued support. Thank you very much.